he's going to die, and he knows it. And so he's saying goodbye to all of these people that he loves, and he's going to mention by them. He doesn't forgive it. He doesn't forget his enemies either. So Paul is he doesn't forget his enemies. Let's just put it that way. 4 and verse 10. Demas, gar, me, ek, kate, lepen, agapesos, ton, nin, iona, kai, epo, ruthe, ace, Thessalonica, kreis, case, ace, Galatia, titos, ace, Dalmatia. Now, these words look a lot like English. If I was doing this in Hebrew, it would be from the right to the left, and letters you don't even understand at all. That's totally different. But a lot of our English language comes from Greek. All the medical terms from Greeks. Now let's get to this first word here, Demas. 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 What's the modern word for Demas, Marilyn? Marilyn, what's the modern word for Demas?
Jim.
That's right. Jim. All right. And Jim means faithful friend. And it is a shortened form of Demetrius. Okay? Demetrius. For Demas, me he has forsaken. He walked off and left. He left me behind. He has left me behind. Now, where's Paul? He's in trouble, isn't he? Paul's in trouble. This is one of the prison epistles. Paul has been sentenced to death, basically, by Nero. Paul is going to be beheaded. Peter is going to be crucified upside down. This all takes place during Nero. And remember, Nero, when he began to reign, he was like the epitome of the Roman Empire. It was just, everything was wonderful. He cut out all the gross taxes and everything, the people, but the only thing about it, he was 17 years old and he wasn't reigning. It was his great advisors that were actually making the empire great. But once he took over, he killed them, he killed his mother, he killed two of his wives, and he was a rampaging maniac. And he wanted to rebuild the city of Rome, so he set the city of Rome on fire, had it done. He was over in another place when that happened. And went there, and they say he played his harp and sang music because he thought he was a great musician while Rome burned. And then he blamed it on the Christians so he could get rid of them. And he wanted to rebuild the city of Rome, so he burned up all, but thousands of people died. Thousands of people died because it was really a close-built city. And great works of art perished in this. Tremendous. See there, I saw that, Sharon. That's an artist right there. Marilyn. Those two are artists. When they say great works of art, they go, great works of art, much great works of art perish that we don't have any record of now. Well, Paul is getting ready to say goodbye to everything. He said, Demas has forsaken me, having loved the now age, the present world. He loved the present world. What he did, I do not know. People guessed and everything, but he was afraid for his life, I believe, so he backed off and went someplace else. So did a lot of other people. They backed off from Paul. Because there were two people that stayed with Paul. Luke the physician, which was Paul. Luke risked his life all the time from Paul when Paul was arrested all the way to Rome. And took care of Paul. Because Paul was a sick guy. He had a lot of problems. His problems were probably caused by him being stoned and beaten and everything else. There's no telling what all was wrong with Paul. He had terrible eyesight. We know that could have been from the stoning. He was stoned to death, and God raised him from the dead. And now he's going to die. Having loved the now age, and he went to Thessalonica, and Cretans to Galatia. All right? And Titus to Dalmatia. Everybody's leaving. Everybody's leaving. Some of them on purpose. A lot of these names we don't have the meanings of. But you can look them up in your little book that I gave you as you out the names of the people, but Titus, what do you think Titus means? That's a good name that we can get a handle on. What about Titus? Sharon, do you remember that one? Titus?
I remember you talking about it, but I don't remember the answer.
All right, Cindy, Titus. Title. All right. It means title or a name of honor, okay? Now let's go to 4 and verse 11. Lucas estin monos. Met imu, marcon, analabon, age, meta, siatu, estin, gar, mui, eukar, restos, ace, diaconion. Luke. Now, what does Luke mean? Tell me the... Sharon, you know that one. You know that one. What kind of word is it from what language?
It's from Latin.
From Latin. Okay. What's the whole name? Luke is a shortened form of what?
Lucifer.
Luke's name is Lucifer, which means what?
Light carrier.
Light carrier. Luke means light carrier. It is a Latin word. And we find the name of Hillel. Who is Hillel?
Satan.
But his name, Hillel, means light carrier in Hebrew. All right. So Luke, he is only monos. Only. With me. Marcus. Mark. And by the way, that's a Greek Latin word, Mark is. And remember, Mark, what kind of guy was Mark before? Did Paul get mad at Mark in the past? Why did Paul get mad at Mark? You remember? Just a history lesson. Huh?
He was homesick, wanted to live.
No, well, a little bit, but not really. Why, Sharon?
He didn't want those darn Gentiles.
He did not want to rub elbows with Gentiles because he was he was a Judaizer. The early church has had problems with Judaism from without and Judaizers from within church. And Peter was a Judaizer, we know. Even though he was the first one to preach to the Gentiles, he still couldn't rub elbows with them. He just still couldn't party with the dogs. That's just the way it was. He couldn't party with those dogs. And John Mark left them and went back to Jerusalem where he could be with his Jewish buddies. Because he did not want to rub elbows with these Gentiles. And these Gentiles, more Gentiles were being saved than there were Jews. More Gentiles were saved than Jews. Now, the book of Genesis and what chapter and verses specify that the church will become a Gentile church? Brother, who knows that? Christine.
I'm sorry.
In the book of Genesis, what chapter and verse specifies that there will be a Gentile? Gentiles take the place in the church and do the work of the Shemites.
When
Shem will
dwell in the
tents. When Japheth will dwell in the tents of Shem. Genesis 9:24 through 27. All right. Very good. Mark having taken, you bring him with you. Bring Mark. Now, he's not mad at Mark anymore. He's gone back in Jerusalem in the meanwhile and set them all straight. And then he got arrested while he was in Jerusalem. What vows was he paying for in Jerusalem when he went back to Jerusalem? Remember what those vows were, Cindy? You remember that? He was going through the vows of what? Cleansing himself from the vows of... Sherry?
I know he shaved his hair.
Yeah. What do you do when you shave? What do you do when you let your hair grow long?
Nazarite.
Nazarene. The Nazarite. Okay? They were cleansing themselves of the vows of the Nazarite. Okay? And he went there and he was arrested. They accused him of bringing Gentiles in the church. And what was the only capital crime that the Jews were allowed to do, Brother Roger?
If the Gentile went into the temple?
If the Gentile went into the temple, they could kill him. Because there was a sign there that says, if you come in here, you die. You know, that's it. All right. Luke only is with me. Mark, having taken, bring him with yourself, and he is... to me, useful. Eucharistos. It's a good gift, is what he said. He's a good gift to me. Right now, he wasn't a good gift before, and I was mad at him, but now he's useful. Unto the ministry. Ace, diaconion. Ace. The Greek preposition ace, the grammatical rule for it. Extension?
Extension or limitation of thought or verbal action.
For the purpose of the ministry. Diakonia. What does that word diakonia come from? What does it mean, Cindy? Diakonia. What does that mean? You remember that one? Dust kicker. Stirring up dust. Konia means dust. All right? Shake the dust off. Diakonia. Diakonia. And then for in verse 12. Tychikon. De. Apestele. Ace. Epheson. All right? What do you think tychia means? What word in English do we have from tychia? Come on, girls and boys. What's the word? You remember, don't you?
No, I'm thinking.
All right. What about it, right? How about it, Brother David? What word in tychion, what word do we have in English that comes from tychion? Christine, you remember? Cindy, you remember that one? That's good. Taxi. 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 That's a quick ride. Taxi is a quick ride, okay? And that means quick one. Are you enjoying this, Cindy? I'm moving right along here. All right. Tychius. I sent. How did he sent? How was he sent? Apestele. Apestela. First person singing, first heiress, and dignity back. What does first heiress mean, Brother David? First heiress. Remember that one? Roger? It was sudden action. That's like salvation, suddenly. Punctiliar action, very sharp punctiliar action, first heiress. Do you like that, young lady? First heiress, punctiliar, extremely sharp punctiliar action. All right? We have this punctiliar action. I sent. Apestele. How did he send him?
With authority.
With divine authority. I sent him with divine authority. Ace, again, Ephesus. The church in Ephesus. There's churches everywhere now. Churches everywhere. 4:13. Ton phile name. Ho apelipon. And praidi. Para. Carpos, or Carpo, Erkamenos, Ferre, Kai, Ta, Biblia, Malisa, Tas, Membranos, Membranos. Let's look at this one. Tone, by le name. Tone, Marilyn, how about that word, tone, by le name? What does that mean?
Tone,
by le name.
I don't have.
You don't have that page? Okay. How about it, Brother Roger? We'll have to fill this in.
This place is closed.
Okay, this is a cloak. This is a robe. They did not wear clothes like you and I wear. They had wraparounds. Wrappers. They had wrappers. They wrapped themselves up like a serape thing, you know. They wrapped themselves. They had wrappers. And the wrapper, literally, which I left, that means left behind, in Troas. Now look how poor this preacher is. I know he's a missionary Baptist preacher. In Troas with Carpus. Now what's this Carpus mean? It comes from Carpone. Cindy, what is that? Huh? Carpone. Carpone. Huh?
Fruit.
See, he's cheating over there. See that? That means fruit. Carpone is fruit. Fruit. Which I left in Troas with Carpus. Fruitful. His name means fruitful. And then, now look at this word here, Erkomenos. Erkomenos. That's nominative singular masculine present participle middle voice. That's a good one. See now, this is a marriage of a noun and a verb. You got all the things about nouns in there. It's declined like a noun and conjugated like a verb. Am I doing that right, young lady? All right. And in English, it's what? It's a gerund. A gerund. Thank you. You got it. That's an English teacher for you. See, a language person. She's got it. Gerund. It's a gerund. A doing thing, a going thing, a coming thing. And it's nominative singular masculine. Tell me about nominative singular masculine, Cindy. Nominative is the case of the subject. Singular in singular in person. And, of course, masculine in gender.
Masculine is kind of questionable right now. It depends on whether.
Oh, yeah, in the modern world.
They identify as masculine.
So, yeah.
You know, they use it.
Yeah. Today, everything, it used to be he or she did that, or he did that, and that's the way grammar was. But now we have to be politically correct. So we don't have any rules. One coming. It's nominative singular masculine, present participle middle. Present tense is going on right now, and it's acting. Coming, he's in the process. Middle voice, why? How? For himself. All right. He's coming under his own power. All right. I left, introas, carpus, fruitful. He's coming. You bring, ferro, ferre, ferre. What word do we have? Ferre. What about this word? Some people trace the word Pharaoh from this. Pharaoh means to bear. But what does Pharaoh mean in Hebrew? The guy that lives in the big house. Okay? You bring, second person singular present, imperative active, and ta biblia. Ta biblia. What is a biblia? What? What? It's the scrolls. Our word biblio. Now, I don't know whether you know this or not. How many of you know that all the Bible was originally written on scrolls? Okay? When did it change to codex? Codex. What is a codex? This is a codex. That's a codex. Codex Alexandrius, Codex Vaticanus, Codex Sinaiticus. What am I talking about? We're talking about the Bibles that Constantine had copied, 50 copies of them. We have those three extant copies of it. Complete Bibles in written in Greek from the Old Testament to the New Testament. By the way, the Jews had basically left their language behind, and Jesus spoke what language mainly? What language did he speak mainly?
Greek.
Greek. Every now and then, in the Bible, see, you haven't gotten into this yet. That book, the Passion, was wrong. I'm not book, but movie. He spoke Greek. He spoke Koine Greek. Every now and then, he'd say, Talitha Kume. That's Aramaic, isn't it? And he would quote that when he spoke, but most of the time, what Bible did he quote most of the time?
Septuagint.
The Septuagint, which is a Greek translation of the Old Testament. Now and then, in one book he says, Eloi Eloi Lama Sabachthani. Another one says, Eli Eli Lama Sabachthani. What language is those, brother?
Aramaic and Hebrew.
Aramaic and Hebrew. And he quoted the 22nd Psalm when he was on the cross. In Aramaic, I believe, and in Hebrew both. Did he ever correct the translation of the Septuagint? Several times. Several times. He said, this is what it says. And he spoke with authority as if he knew what it said, didn't he? All right. The Bible, the Biblia, is the scroll. We don't have a codex Bible yet. We got scrolls. Now, and then it says malista. Malista means most carefully, most chiefly, above all things, the membranas. Membranas. Now, tell me what word in English comes from membranas? Membrane, which is what? Membrane is a skin. It's a skin. The very expensive copies of the Bible were on skins. Membranes. Membranos. All right? Did you learn something tonight? We're clipping along here. Very good. All right. Alexandros. Ho kalikos. Pola. Moe. Kaka. Eno de sato. Apodose. Auto ho kyrios. Kata ta erga autu. Alexandros. Alexandros. Tell me about that word Alexandra. What does it mean? Alexander. Brother Roger, you remember that one? Brother David? Alexander.
Alexander the Great.
Alexander the Great was one. Okay, he was the son of Philip of Macedon. Macedon. Actually, Sharon, what's Alexander mean? You remember that one? Alexandros. What does it mean? Cindy, you remember that one? What's in this word? There's the word man in there? The word man is in there, isn't it? Yeah. Anthropos is in there. Andros. And so, Alex Andros means the helper of man. the helper of man. Alexander means the helper of man. Alexander ho kalikios, the coppersmith. Many to me evils. Now, this is his dying words, okay? This is Paul's dying words. He said, that guy did a lot of things to me. Let's look at this. What does kaka mean? Huh? What does it mean? Adamic evil. Real bad stuff. It's not poneria. That's not yet. Evils. Bad deeds. Bad deeds. He showed. He pointed out. Look at that word. Third person singular. First aorist is indicative of middle voice. Third person singular. He. Masculine is he. And first aorist, young lady, remember what that one is? First aorist is very sharp punctiliar action. Let me tell you about second aorist, too. This is first aorist sharp. Second aorist is like this. All right? Second aorist is like that. It's got a little durative linear action on it. But first aorist is punctiliar action. We are saved by grace. How long does that take? That's first aorist. That sharp punctiliar action. What?
The flap of an ass wing.
He showed us. Middle voice. He showed me many evils. Middle voice. I taught a class, the last class, on the book of Revelation today. And in the book of Revelation, we have a new heaven and a new earth. Think about that for just a minute. You've been there, you girls, the lately over there when I taught these classes. I taught one Tuesday. I taught one Monday, didn't I, even though I don't remember it. Yeah. I taught that one Monday. You were there. And we talked about the eternal age. We talked about the great white throne judgment. We talked about New Jerusalem. That's a beautiful city, New Jerusalem. A lot of people just can't fathom that it's real and it's there and it's going to be there. It's basically, not exactly, I can give you the dimensions of it, but it's basically 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles. A cube, 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles. And that city, for 1,000 years, rests above the earth. Why? Huh? It rests above the earth because it doesn't want one unsaved person to ever touch it. No unsaved person ever goes in or out of that city because this is holy ground. And that thing sets up there for 1,500 years and saints come down to the earth and co-mingle with the people that are in their bodies during this 1,000-year reign of Israel. Israel will be reigning. The 12 tribes will be down there. We will be co-mingling with them. Some of the saints will come down. I don't know if I'm going to go up and down there or not, but some of them are, some important ones. They're going to go down there. There's going to be 1,000 Feasts of Tabernacles. And the Feast of Tabernacles, the Shavuot, what does that mean, Brother Roger?
Where they built the
temporary shelters. God dwelling with them and God providing for them. God dwelling and Paul providing. And then this New Jerusalem is up there in the heavens, still, not touching the earth. No unsaved person ever goes into it at all. It's what we call a clean room. Okay? You know what a clean room is? If you have a compounding pharmacy and everything, you have a clean room. Nothing contaminated goes in there. And this New Jerusalem sets up there, and then, at the end of that 1,000-year reign, we have the Great White Throne Judgment. We have all these, the Battle of Gog and Magog, which isn't much of a battle. This God's going to, by the breath of His mouth, He's going to kill all them rats. Kill them. And send them to Hades, and he's going to resurrect them out of Hades and throw them in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. After all this takes place, God says He's going to either do one or two things. He's going to burn the earth so much that it purifies it, but there won't be one man-made object left on the earth. Not one. No man-made object will be left on this earth. Not one. It'll be a new heavens and a new earth. There won't be anything on the moon either. No man-made objects anywhere. Why? And then that New Jerusalem has come down. It's going to set on the earth. And it's going to have a river of water, of living water coming out from it, watering the earth. And the saints will go all over the place. But nothing contaminated will ever touch that. Why is God going to destroy everything?
Man's contaminated.
We're saved by grace. Nothing works. No works. Not a man's works will you see in eternity. I don't know whether the greatest Patek Philippe watch, this Rolex won't make it. These are masterpieces of works. Art. All the masterpieces of art are going to be gone. And that koi fish painting that you did, it's going to be burned up. It's beautiful. Your painting, Marilyn, is going to be gone. She is a master. Beautiful, beautiful painting. Detail, like the masters back in the Renaissance. They're going to be gone. Why? Because not one thing man-made is going to go into the eternal ages, because we're saved by grace. Nothing according to man will be there. That's something, isn't it? That's beautiful. Alexander the coppersmith. Many evil things he showed and pointed out to me, and he shall render to him the Lord according to the works of him. Now, he was a very licentious person, terrible person, and he lived in Ephesus, and Ephesus was an ungodly city, wasn't it? Just ungodly people there. Had a lot of trouble. Paul had a lot of trouble in Ephesus. But what is the greatest letter in the Bible? The heavenly letter. It's called the book of Ephesians because it was copied and sent out from Ephesians. That is not the Ephesian letter. That is a letter that was copied from Ephesians. And in the context of it, if you go and look at in the text, it'll say in Ephesus or in Ephesus was not there. This was a what we call a circular or a general epistle. It talks about heavenly things. 4:15. Am I doing all right, Cindy? I got a few goals. Okay, I'm working on it. Hon kai si philasu leon gar anteste tois hemeterois. Whom also you guard yourself. Philosophy means to put yourself in a cage. Guard yourself greatly. Guard yourself from this man. He's a bad dude. John was the apostle of love, wasn't he? The boy, those Gnostics, he hated them. And he named them one time that a Gnostic was going into the public bath, and John said, I don't even be in the same bathhouse with him. He got out of there. He didn't want to be anywhere near that Gnostic. Gnostics don't believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. That's bad people. Who are the Gnostics today? Jehovah's Witness, yeah. Jehovah's Witness especially. All right. Mormons, they're all mixed up on God. John R. Ted and Herbert W. Armstrong, the Worldwide Church of God, you know, that's all that Gnostic business. And also you guard yourself greatly. Look at that word Leon there. That means greatly. Exceedingly. For he stood against the words, our words. What is our words? When Paul spoke, did he speak from the inspiration of God? That's right. These were the inspired words, and he spoke against God's word. Guard yourself against him. Guard. Put a wall around him. 4:16. Ente prote. Mu apologia. Udes moi paragenetto. Alla pontes me. Εκ κατα λιτοπον, με αυτοίς λογίστεί. In the first defense, apologia. What word in English do we get this word apologia?
Apologetics.
Okay. Sharon, do you have your amplified there open? In the first me defense, no one. To me, he was beside, or came beside me. No one came beside me. No one came to my aid. Can you come in here and read that verse for us real quick?
16,
right? Yeah, 16. It's explained right there.
At my first trial, no one acted in my defense as my advocate
or took my part, or even stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them.
All right. These are the Christians. The Christians were afraid. You ever get afraid to be a Christian? You better start getting that way, because the world is not Christian friendly right now. America is not Christian friendly. That's a fact. Not Christian friendly. In my first trial, no one, to me, he was stood beside me for himself. Look at that third person singular, second aorist, indicative middle. See the second aorist there? That's punctiliar, but it's durative. And then middle voice means what?
For himself.
Okay, you were just catching right on with this good girl. Allah, strong adversative conjunction, page 15, by the way. Allah. That's not the name for Baal or God. This is the strong adversative conjunction. What's a weak adversative conjunction? Name it.
And day.
And gar. You're doing pretty good, girls, boys. That's good. But all men, me, they have cut me off. All men cut me off. That's what it literally says. Ek kata lepon. They have forsaken and they've cut me off. Third person singular, secondary, indicative active. Second aorist. It was a durative period of this punctiliar action. And then we have a little particle of negation. May. To them it may be not to them it may be calculated, reckoned. Don't put it on the ledger. Lord, please don't. They're scared. Lord, please don't put it on the ledger. Don't bring this up at the judgment seat. And the judgment seat is over here, remember? The judgment seat. This is a Christian judgment seat. 4:17. Hodei Kyrios. Moi pareste kai enedina musen. Mei hina di emoi to keregma play role for rethe. Kai akususen panta ta ethne kai Euristein ek stomatos leon lentos. But the Lord with me he stood beside. And he empowered. And he empowered me. He made me strong. What's that word? What's the root of that word down there? It means clothed in power. Dynamis. Dynamis means we got a word dynamite out of that. Dynamite. Nitroglycerin. This explosive power, okay? That comes right down into the English language. It's very explosive. You put too much nitroglycerin in gunpowder and you got a problem. It can really explode things. Woof. I remember a long time ago I loaded up this old gun and had too much powder in it. I didn't know it had another load in it besides what I put in it. But I went out and was going to shoot it and clean it out real good. I walked outside my door. Brother Roger, you've seen that pistol. You guys have seen that pistol. How many of you have ever pulled a pin on a grenade and held it in your hands? Same thing. What happened then? You saw that pistol. You think anybody could live through that? That pistol just absolutely the ground shook. The pistol blew up and blew the barrel half in two and just splintered it out in shreds. Half of it blew a door off, and the other half of it cut through a 2x12 and went a half a mile after it did that. And I stood there, could not hear. Can you imagine the flash and the light? All I had left in it was the trigger guard and the end of the butt. All the rest of it was in smithereens. And only one little bit hit that finger and blew it almost off from there out. I'm not a real good guitar player because of that now. I still try, but it doesn't bar. There's not enough of it left. That's all. That's it. It's just like pulling a pin on a grenade and explode. I know what dynamis is. I know what dynamite power is. It had a lot of nitroglycerin in it. Nitroglycerin. You know, when they used to carry nitroglycerin, they had it in these little containers that were all, and it was liquid nitroglycerin. There is nitroglycerin in all dynamite. There's nitroglycerin in all gunpowder. But they mix it real good today. You can shake a bullet and everything else, and it doesn't go kaboom. But back then, you just jarred it wrong, and you had quite an explosion dynamis. All right. He empowered me in order that through me the proclamation, it might be accomplished. It might be accomplished. Look at this now. Third person singular, first aorist, indicative or subjunctive passive. What's the passive voice, young lady? Megan?
It has two. It's not active voice.
Okay. It means it's done upon you. It's something done to you. Okay. And then first aorist, extremely punctured or active. How about subjunctive mode? Do we loan ourselves to God? Yes. We are saved by grace, but not without our volition. And we serve the Lord by grace with our volition. That's the subjunctive mode. Caruso. You ever heard of the great singer named Caruso? That comes right out of there. Kerugma. Caruso. The proclamation. It might be accomplished. And they might hear. Aku Susan. Third person plural, first aorist, subjunctive, active. People will or will not hear the word of God, don't they? Who is it up to? The person. Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross of Calvary, his blood, his atonement would cover all of mankind. The whole. That's what we call a universal atonement. Complete. But it's only efficacious to those that believe. And there's your subjunctive mode. We don't believe, and I mean, some people believe that when Jesus died, that he's going to redeem the whole world back to himself and everybody in it and everything, even the devil and Judas and all of it. Nobody's going to go to hell in the end. Boy, wouldn't it just be useless to live a life of any sort if that's the facts? That's what we call universalism. That's what we call the Unitarian Church. This is those people. Some will hear and some won't hear. Here we have the subjunctive mode because we're talking about volition. All the nations, the Gentiles, that's us-ins and you-ins. Anybody here a purebred Jew? I'm a little bit Jew, but I'm not purebred. I'm one of the sons of Abraham. Way back yonder. And my DNA, it showed it. Just flared up just a tiny bit. The nations, the Gentiles. And Genesis 9:24-27. Write that down there. That's where it goes to. I was delivered out of the mouth of Leontos. What does Lentos mean? It comes from Leon. Do you remember what Leon means?
A lion.
A lion, but what does a lion mean? You remember what that is? Does that thing tell you about it down there, what that means? Leon. Cindy, you remember that one? Leons. Christine. It's a roaring lion, yes. Marilyn, what does the lion mean? Leon.
Male.
Yeah, remember what that means? Brother David. Come on now, you guys can't get all F minus on this test question. Brother Roger, what does Leon mean? Leon. Sharp eyes. Sharp eyes. Why are they called sharp eyes? Why is a lion called sharp eyes?
He's a hunter.
Here's an eye. That's an eyeball. Here's a cat's eyeball at midnight. The pupil is round. Here is a cat's eyeball in 12 o'clock noon. Do you know that you can tell time by a cat's eyes? And there's a sharp eye. That's why it's called a sharp eye right there. At 12 o'clock noon, they have sharp vertical pupils. Did you learn something tonight? All right. Sharp eyes. What? The Chinese tell time by cats. That's the way they used to tell time. As from before 12 o'clock, it gets sharper to the sharp, and then after it starts widening out. If you got a cat with a big pupil, it's probably dead. Unless it's not midnight. Because cats are nocturnal, aren't they? So their eyes have to open up completely at nighttime so they can hunt. 12 o'clock midnight, their eyes will be, their pupils will be round. Check me out there, Cindy. And what about a rooster? What about a rooster? Those roosters crowing. And out there on in Jerusalem, I got a recording of a rooster crowing at 3:00 in the morning in Jerusalem. I taped it. Roosters crow 12:369, 24 hours a day. That's God's clock. 12:369. 12:369. And my hens, a hen will only crow at 12:369 unless they're excited. And a rooster will, but a hen especially. Most of my hens that I don't have with roosters will crow. They're Old English. And they crow. And they will crow at 12:369. That's the way it is. 12:369. Now, not very many people know that, but does it happen, Chris? That's what happens. Pay attention when you're out there in the woods. This is what we call rural life. And a lot of this information is gone. We forgot about it. It says, the proclamation that might be accomplished that they might hear, subjunctive mode, all the nations. And then it says, Erusthane. Erusthane comes from Ruamai, which means to rapture away, to snatch away. Now, some people believe that this is figurative language, but maybe Paul was thrown into a lion's den. Do you think it's possible? He finally was beheaded, but if he was thrown into a lion's den, God snatched him out of there and he saved him. Lions didn't eat him. He wasn't lion food. What does lion mean? Sharp eyes. Crusete. Now look at that crusete. It's got a row in front of it. It looks like our R. And it's got a rough breather on it. A rough breather does what, Cindy? You breathe. Wheels. Wheels, you breathe. Wheels. This rough breather means wheels. So you got a W-H-I-O-S. Okay, wheels. And here we have the word... Rusatai. And you have that as with a Rusatai. Rusatai. You breathe out with it. Breathe out. Rusatai me ho kyrios. Apol pontos ergu poneru kai sose ace tain basilian autu tain epuranoin ho hey doxa. Ace tus ionos ton aionon. Amen. How many more verses do we have, Cindy?
Four after this one.
And he shall snatch me away, the Lord, from all work wicked. All the wicked work. Sometimes you get snatched away by death, don't you? Paul did. Out of it. Gone in the glory. Wicked, that word, that's poneria, that means twisted, that means horribly wicked. This is prostitution, this is homosexuality, this is all that wicked stuff. That's the word poneria. And it is a love. The people that love this, love it. It is quite an attraction. And he shall save, so say, unto the kingdom of him. He's going to save me away and rapture me unto his kingdom that's belonging to him. Unto. What is that? Out to. That's third person pronoun, isn't it? What case is it? Huh? That's genitive. Genitive, singular, masculine. Genitive, God is masculine, isn't he? It's genitive. Genitive is a case of possession. God owns heaven. Basileon. Out to. Tain uparanion. Uparanion. What about this epi? It comes from epi uneranos. What is the word here in Hebrew, Brother Roger?
Water.
Okay. Hashemayim.
Hashemayim.
Hashemayim, the uplifted waters. And here we're talking about heaven itself. This New Jerusalem. This cube city. A city of four square. That beautiful place. I'm going to get to go there. Guys, goodbye. Goodbye, I'm going home. In whom the glory unto the eternal ages, the ages of the ages of the ages. And right here, Ionos means age, 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 age. What is the Hebrew word for that, Brother Roger? For Ionos, Tonion, Tonion. Olam. Olam. Olam is when you go to where you can't imagine anymore. That's where Olam begins. Long time in the future. Eternity. The eternal ages. Eternal ages. Paul is just beginning to just enjoy all that glory right now. That city's up there. Jesus said in John, he said, If I go away, I will come back and receive them yourself. I'm going away to do what? Build you a house. A house. A beautiful house. He said, then I'll come back and get you. He gets us one at a time sometimes. He's going to get a whole bunch of them at one time over there. Ages of the ages, amen. Amen is a word that goes from several languages. What is the oldest form of amen?
Persian.
Where did it go from Persian? It goes into what?
Hebrew.
Then it goes from Hebrew into Greek. And it goes from Greek into English. And it's still amen, but it means most affirmative, and it really means to prop up. It's to stand by it. 4:19. Final greetings. 4:19-20 on. Aspase. Friscon. Kai Aquilon. Kai Ton Onesteru. Oikon. You greet Priscilla. Now Priscilla is a nickname for Prisca. Is a nickname for Prisca. That was her name was Prisca, but they call her Priscilla. And Aquila. Aquila means eagle. Aquila. That's a Roman name. Aquila. On the Roman coat of arms, what was on there? An eagle. All right? These two had been expelled from Rome under Claudius. And Onesiphorus. Onesiphorus, his name means prophet, prophet bearer. He was an Ephesian Christian. His name means profitable. And the house of Onesimus. By the way, this was a church that he's talking to here. This is a church in the house of Onesiphorus. Go in verse 20. Erastus. Emene. In Corinto. Trophimon de Apollipon en Melito asthenunta. Erastus, beloved. That's what Erastus means, beloved. Beloved, he remained in Corinth. Trophimus, Trophimon, it means nutritious. That's what Trophimon means, nutritious. I think there's some kind of vitamins called that are derived from this. Trophimon, I left in Miletus. Miletus is a Latin name, by the way. Being sick, ailing, withering away. Present participle active, accusative singular masculine. He's withering away. Now, these people had the gift of healing back then, didn't they? Why in the world didn't Paul heal himself? How many times did he seek the Lord to heal himself? Three times. God said no. He said no here. He said no to Timothy. Now, we are just finishing the book of Timothy. What kind of a person was Timothy? Christine. Timothy. Timotheus.
What kind of person?
Yeah. What? Tell me what he looked like.
He was kind of sickly.
He was a little he was a semi-invalid. He was a semi-invalid. I don't know what was wrong with him. He had a bad stomach, all this kind of stuff. And God did not heal him either, did he? He said, drink a little wine for your stomach's sake. And every wino I ever knew said, see, I'm just drinking a little wine for my stomach. Healing is not part of the atonement, by the way. A lot like the Assembly of God and Pentecostals and all of them say, and even Dr. Gene Scott, 421. So, but spodeson, prokeimenos, elthane, ospazete, si, you belus, kai hudes, kai linos, kai Claudia, kai hoi adelphoi pontos. Pontes, that is. In this verse, we find the first Christian ruler of any nation. Did you know that? The first Christian ruler of any nation. And with speed, hastens, spude, inspide, okay? With speed, before winter, come. Greet each one of you, goodwill, and putens, eubulos, his name means goodwill, and putens means modest. They are from, by the way, they're from Wales. This is the first Wales. These were the Welsh Baptists, the British English Baptists. This is where St. Patrick, he was a Baptist in England. He was captured as a boy, taken into Ireland. He went back to the church there, and the church sent him out as a missionary, Baptist missionary, into Ireland, and he established 365 churches, baptized over 100,000 people with his own hands, and ordained deacons and elders in every church, started seminaries and Bible school. And then the Catholic Church claimed him, they didn't want to have anything to do with him back then. They told him to quit doing it. He had no authority. He said, I have authority. Right from Britain. Putens and Claudia and Linus. Linus was the first Christian ruler. And Claudia. Claudia means a royal title. And the brothers of you all. Adelphoi. Adelphoi. What does Adelphoi mean? Adelphoi, Adelphoi. From the same womb. Mary had children. They were brothers and sisters. They were from the same womb. Whose womb? Mary's womb. All right. 422. Did I make it, Cindy? Almost. Ho kyrios meta to pneumato su he kares metimon. Let's do that again. Ho kyrios meta to pneumatos su he kares metimon. Okay. Can you read that, Marilyn?
No, I don't have a blank page.
Sorry about that. I'll try to do better next time. I wasn't writing very bright then. Somehow they really goofed up on this one. The Lord, ho kyrios. Who is this? Who is kyrios in the Old Testament? What does kyrios in the Septuagint, what word does it replace? That's what it replaces right there. That's Jehovah. That's Jehovah. What does Jehovah mean? It means the one who shall become. Who did become? Our Lord and Savior. He became, God became flesh. The Lord with the Spirit of you, he charis metimon. The Lord with the Spirit of you all and the grace with you. Grace. We live by grace, don't we? We're saved by grace. We're kept by grace. And we get to heaven by grace. And there's not one man-made object going to ever get to heaven. Them Church of Christ boys just isn't going to make it. They're going to have to leave all their stuff and good works behind if they ever get there. Do you have any questions now? Yes, young lady.
Last week you mentioned that there were two outer darknesses.
Yes.
A place in hell and we didn't get to
heaven. Okay. One of them was a place in hell, and one of them is outside the very presence of God in that great waiting feast. Outside the very presence of God in that great waiting feast. If any of you have, see if I can find it. Spyros Odiotis, in his Hebrew-Greek study Bible, he makes an explanation of this. On page 1270 and 71. No one that is a hypocrite is going to enter into heaven. That's a pretender, and that's the Pharisees and the scribes and all that bunch, wasn't it? Okay? He talks about them, and they shall be cast into outer darkness, and that outer darkness is a place in Sheol. Okay? It's a place where angels are kept and everything. That's that outer terrible darkness where the damned are. Okay? But then it says there's a different outer darkness. In Greek, the expression preceded by the definite article, it was an area outside of a well-illumined banquet hall where there was darkness. See the parable of the wedding feast, Matthew 22:1-14. The person who managed to sneak into the banquet hall without the proper dress was cast out into outer darkness. That meant an area further away from the immediate darkness, next to the banquet hall where the darkness was not as dense in the area that lay further away. And it says, see note on 1 Peter 3:18 through 20. This outer darkness refers to a place of suffering for unbelievers contrasted to the light where the believers dwell. It goes on to say, this is the outer darkness where the furnace of hell is, Gehenna. And then it says here in Matthew 25:30, it does not mean Gehenna. It is applied not to unbelievers or hypocrites, but to the believers who neglected to exercise their God-given talents. Ooh. Ugh.
So there's believers in hell?
This is outside of the glory and presence of God. Outside there in the darkness, away from all this. There are various of degrees in hell and various degrees in heaven. The Lord calls such a servant a poneiro, a wicked and unprofitable cursed servant. But these terms may be applied to believers who have failed the Lord in their service. The Lord called Peter Satan one time, didn't he? Did he?
Yeah.
Get thee behind me, Satan. Matthew 16:23. The words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 3:10-15 are in full support of our exegesis that our works of faith as servants will be tried by fire. They got to be on the right grounds, don't they? They got to be on the right ground. The expression outer darkness in Matthew 25:30 occurs at the end of the parable of the talents, and a parable to show the necessity of serving Christ faithfully according to his investment in us. Therefore, in this instance, the outer darkness must mean a place far less rewards for the servants who prove themselves less diligent than those who use and exercise their talents to the fullest. The expression must refer to the degrees of the enjoyment of heaven rather than referring to hell. This teaching of varied rewards is part and parcel of the inherent doctrine of the New Testament, that neither heaven nor hell is going to be of equal degree.
Say that again. Is that going to be?
Neither heaven or hell will be of equal degree for all people. There's a bride. Who's the bride? Those favorite members of New Testament church. Faithful, and not everybody. Missionary Baptist, you say thee and the bride, you got to be a missionary Baptist. Hogwash. You got to be a faithful missionary Baptist. and you got to be a faithful Baptist. You got to be faithful, period. You got to be faithful. And you got to use all your talents. Going, no place in these places is going to be of equal degree for all, because this would annul the justice of God. Entrance into heaven is through the acceptance of Christ's sacrifice for our justification, but our rewards in heaven will depend upon what we have done for Christ. Matthew 5:3-12, 7:21-23, 10:15, Luke 6:20-26, 12:47-48, Acts 10:4-31, Romans 2:1-16, 14:10-23, 1 Corinthians 3:13-5, 2 Corinthians 5:10, 1 John 4:17, Revelation 20:11-15. The neglect of such paramount importance that the same simile is used by the Lord of the outer darkness to indicate the punishment for unbeliever for his rejection of God's salvation. That's scary, isn't it? That'll be right there. Got right in place. The outer darkness to indicate the punishment for the unbeliever for his rejection of God's salvation. In this case, the non-believer will be positively punishment. Will there be whippings in heaven during this period of time? During the judgment, there is. God's going to whip some of his children. He whips them right now, doesn't he? Fire and burning, Matthew 13:30, John 15:6. In the case of the believer, it will be weeping, which is the expression of sorrow over not having used his God-given opportunities. The gnashing of teeth indicates anger at oneself for missing such marvelous opportunities for the believer had on earth. The same emotional attitude will be expressed by the unbeliever. You know that Judas is just beginning to suffer in hell today. He's just beginning to suffer. All those guys that rejected Jesus, Festus and all of them, they all rejected Jesus. They're just beginning to suffer. And God's people, when they die, don't die blushing. Die with your face shining. Don't die blushing. The same emotional attitude will be expressed by the unbeliever, but in this case, it will be weeping for the lost opportunity of genuine and true repentance, followed by the works of repentance. Gnashing the teeth in the case of the unbeliever refers to being angry at oneself because he did not decide to go through the narrow gate and live in the straight way when he had the opportunity. The Lord wanted to teach that after death, we cannot go back and do it over again. You can't go back and live it over again. There's no second chances. Either repent of our sins and serve Him according to our God-given opportunities. See also the note on Luke 11:33-36. Thank you for asking that question. There it is. I don't think you understood all about it, but there it is. That's just a little piece of that doctrine.
So when the Lord wipes away all tears and everything, are they all redeemed then, those that are in the outer darkness? Are we all brought into the light together?
Yes. What is this outer darkness? The outer darkness of the wedding feast and all these festive activities.
So
outer darkness. You ever feel like you were in outer darkness sometimes? What?
They're going to be on the outskirts of
that. The outskirts.
To say.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, the New Lighters will say that that's forever, but it's not forever. Okay, you know what I'm talking about. You know what a new lighter is. Most of you don't know what a new lighter is, but he does.
No, I don't.
Okay.
New lighter, please.
Yeah.
What is it?
The missionary Baptists that believe that only those that get to go to heaven are those that go into the presence of God. Everybody else and all other religions will be in outer darkness forever. That's what you call new light. Okay? It's a lot to it. All right. Now, you know what I'm talking about because you came from that group. There's truth in it. But there's exaggeration and meanness too. All right?
And they don't think they're going to get there just because they were baptized.
Yeah. Then they're not going to get there. There are lost ones there too. And those that will not be in the bride, period. Those churches have taken their candlestick and thrown their candlestick away sometimes. Thrown it away. Because of their actions. All right. Anything else, Cindy? With a Mia? You know what "who the man" means. More, not one more thing. Sharon? No. Marilyn? Mary Lynn?
Yeah.
Do you have anything to say?
Thank you for the call.
How about it, Clyde, Ona, Pamela? I missed you Sunday night. All right. Any more, Christine? Any of you? Before I turn you loose on the world. Carrie?
No?
All right, let's be dismissed and go out and do something eternal. All right, you ready? Young lady, you want to dismiss in prayer?
Sure.
All right.